Look there in verse 21. Have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God? Are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were craven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. You know, there is no sense even getting up if we can't find Christ in what we're dealing with. And I don't think we'll have any problem this evening. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that. I know that. And he said in verse 21, have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Now most of us could go to our houses. We left comfortable homes. Our homes are well landscaped. Oh, got plenty of flowers, bushes, nice yards. Go to our pantries and they're full. Ate a good supper this evening. People are making livings, getting their paychecks. Sit down to eat and you give thanks and you say, boy, the hand of God's touched me. And I'd agree with you. I'd agree with you. The hand of God's touched me. But here's Job, one whom God himself said, have you considered my servant Job, a perfect and an upright man that shuns evil? God called him. God called him. And he was once wealthy, very wealthy man. But now he's poor. Once he's healthy, now he's sick. Once very powerful and influential, but now he's alone and deserted. Even the kids make fun of him in the street. And he turns around and says, the hand of God hath touched me. The hand of God hath touched me. He didn't say, Satan hath touched me. He didn't say, Satan did this to me. But he declared emphatically, the hand of God hath touched me. God touched me. God did this. God did this. Now the natural man, he can't get that. He can't understand that. Can't understand it at all. But those who God regenerated, gave them new hearts, gave them new wills, gave them new understandings. You know, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which the prince of this world did not know. If they had known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But this is why they did it. Because they were natural men. And they received not the things of the Spirit of God. And they couldn't know the things of the Spirit of God. And but those who have been regenerated, we know the hidden wisdom of God. We speak the hidden wisdom of God that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the natural world, and I see this so many times, see it in so many ways, and so many people. In the natural world, the way up is up. Up, 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 up. Go, 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 go. Ambition. Make it, make it, make it. Get to the top. Get to the top. But in the spiritual world, if you want to go up, you got to go down. Got to go down. Old Scott said, make your headquarters in the dust. Make your headquarters right there. And in the natural world, to live is to live. to live good, to live well, to live, I mean, just to make life better, more, you know. But in the spiritual world, if you want to live, you got to die. Die to everything that you ever hoped in besides the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's what our Master said. He said, he that saveth his life, he'll find it. But he that for my sakes loses his life, he shall life have everlasting life. Lose your life for Christ? Oh, listen, I didn't have no life until Christ came and gave me life. Didn't even have it. In the natural world, men brag and find great satisfaction in their own strength and their own abilities. But those who know Christ in the spiritual realm, they find out that when they're weak, they're strong. For he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness, talking about Christ. And I tell you what, in the most blessed and greatest thing God can do for a man, for a soul in this world, whatever the cost to them is that God would take, turn their interest, turn their affection, turn their love, turn their concern for this world, and turn every bit of it towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Make them leave this world and go to Christ. Leave no love in this world. Bring your love to Christ. That's the best thing and most glorious thing God can do for a soul is take your mind and your heart and your love and affections off of the world and set them on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, in the spiritual realm, to be full, you got to be emptied. Christ ain't going to dwell and with anything else but himself in a soul. And if you want to be a wise man, become a fool for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And like that prodigal that went back with them old rotten stinking clothes on, like Bartimaeus, you have to have them old rotten clothes stripped off. Be naked if you're ever going to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And if you want to give, if you want to receive anything, you got to give. And if you want to reign and be somebody in the spiritual realm, you got to serve. The chiefest has said, our Lord said, let him be the servant. And you want to be rich, you're going to have to become poor. Not have anything but Christ himself. Huh? Now the natural man don't understand that. He don't get that. But this was Job's experience, and it's been a lot of people's experience. Job knew what it was to possess everything his heart could desire in this world. He was wealthy. He could afford anything. But he felt the pain and the impact of watching everything that he had just fade away into nothing and be reduced to ashes. With everything gone, he's sitting in the dust now. He's sitting in the dust. He's at the bottom. He's not at the top anymore. He's at the bottom. And he ain't got no place to hide. No arm to lean on. And he rejoices in the sinner's only hope in this world, his Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't that what he said? He said down here, oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book. Well, Job, God gave it to you. They that were graven with an iron pen laid in the rock. Now listen to this. This is where he found his hope. This is where he found his rejoicing. He's at the bottom now. He ain't got nothing. His own wife won't even help him. The kids make fun of him. He calls for a servant, and the servant just goes on about his business. Job, I ain't got time to fool with you. And he's down at the bottom. He has no hope, and he ain't got no arm of flesh to lean on. And then he says this, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Now here's Job. Here's Job. I preached this message a long, long time ago up at Lexington. And here's what happens. Job had absolute certainty in an uncertain world. Absolute certainty in an uncertain world. He said this, I know. He said, I know something. Not just something, I know someone. I know that my Redeemer liveth. He said, I know that. You know, Job was like Abraham. He believed God and believed God's word. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof is the flower of the field. But the word of our God shall stand forever and ever. Now, beloved, there's nothing certain in this world. Absolutely nothing certain in this world. We heard this morning about a woman that's talking about the other day, and now she's in the hospital, and they don't know what's the matter with her. Just get up, and all of a sudden you're just in bad shape. Rush to the hospital. Talking to Larry Matthews today, and he was with his son one day, went over to see him, and he had a seizure, fell off the porch, 7 stitches in his eye and his head, and messed up one of his eyes, had to rush him to hospital. We live in an uncertain world.
Amen.
You're talking about worlds uncertain, they're still fighting over who's president. That's the most ridiculous. You know, listen, I'm telling you, this world is so uncertain. Oh, people got up and went to a job one day and they told them, said, we don't need you anymore. Now they can't buy groceries. Can't pay their rent. Can't make a house payment. What an uncertain world. But old Job lived like that. And he said this, I know this. I got some certainty in this world where I'm at the bottom. I got some certainty I know in this place where I'm in, everything I've had is gone. I have some certainty. What is it, Job? My Redeemer lives. Huh? Oh my. I'll tell you what's certain in this world. Nothing but destruction. But we know that God is, that God's in Christ, and that God's reconciling the world unto Himself through Christ and by Christ. Oh my, aren't you grateful that we know God and we have some certainty in this uncertain world?
Amen.
When I tell you the first thing when something happens, the first thing a believer does, say, pray for me. Call on God for me. Why? Because He's alive. He is. He's real. He's reality to us. Job sat down there and he said, How did I get in such a bad shape? God done that. This generation look up and say, well, you're not fair. It's not fair to you to love one, hate another. It's not fair to you to choose some, pass by others. Job didn't even think about things like that. He said, I know. I know. Well, Job, ain't you hope? No, I know. I know. What do you know, Job? That my Redeemer lives. I tell you something else Job had. Now, he these three friends that Job had, he called them miserable comforters. Physicians of no value. He said, you know, you fellas are so smart that you think wisdom's going to die with you. And they made Job's life miserable, telling him how bad he must have sinned and what an awful thing he must have done for him to be in such a shape. And Job said, I'll tell you one thing. You all can say anything you want to, but I know this. My Redeemer lives. Go ahead and say what you want to me. That's all right. My Redeemer lives. I'll tell you something else Job had. In all this situation he is in, he had a true friend. A true friend. a blessed friend among all these false friends that he has. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And this is the word. When you start talking about Christ, this is one of the most glorious names of the Lord Jesus Christ that they are. And one of the greatest things about His work, and more comprehensive about Him than about anything, as Redeemer. As a Redeemer. Now, you know, to redeem something, they have to be in bondage. They have to have no money. They have to have no ability. They have to have nothing. They have to have nothing. And when we talk about a Redeemer, when He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And it's like in the book of Ruth, they had a near kinsman. And the near kinsman has the right to redeem. Has the right to redeem. And if there's anybody, you know, that could redeem, and if they don't, they're not willing, they don't have the love for them, they don't have the power, and they don't have the price, and they don't have the willingness, then they can't redeem. But I tell you what, when He says, my Redeemer lives, I tell you what, you reckon Christ has got the power? Yeah, no, He's got the right. He's got the right. Oh, He's a nearer kinsman than you and I could ever imagine. He said, I'm not ashamed to call them brethren. I'm the children which God hath given me. And does He love them? Oh, you know, you think Boaz loved Ruth? The love that Christ has for His people? Oh, how He loves them. Does He have the will to redeem them? Oh, yes. He came forth from the Father and He said, I delight to do Thy will. Oh, God, Thy will I delight to do. So He got the will to do it. And has He got the prize? Oh, He's got the prize. Yes, He's got the prize. What's the prize? We're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb slain, foreordained, predestinated from the foundation of the world. And I tell you what, our Lord Jesus Christ, He was numbered with the transgressors. He identified so with His people. He identified with them. He said He called them His kinsmen. And He called them His children. He called them His elect. He called them His vessels of mercy. He called them His sons. He called them His daughters. And He loved them with an everlasting love. And He paid the full price. You preached a message here a year or two ago on paid the uttermost farthing. I mean the uttermost. God, He paid so much that God Himself said, I don't want no more. Don't need no more. You've paid the price for all that I gave you. You paid the price. That price was His own blood. The price of our debts being paid was the blood of Christ. The price of our redemption was the blood of Jesus Christ. And oh my. And that's what He's saying about the Lord Jesus Christ. I know my Redeemer liveth. And I tell you what, we need redemption. Oh, there's nothing comprehends our Lord Jesus Christ and His redemption. His, you know, that's what the covenant is about. It's a blood covenant. You know, God does everything by covenant. And He, look at, keep Job and look at Hebrews 13. Look at Hebrews 13. I just thought of this. Let's look at this together. Hebrews 13. You know, it's like being held in bondage. You know, Ruth was so poor, and she was out gleaning, just picking up little bitty pieces of grain, little bitty tiny pieces of grain as they went around. Until Boaz recognized her and fell in love with her. And he said, now give her a handful on purpose. But she was poor. Oh my goodness, she was poor. But she had a kinsman that she didn't know she had. She had a wealthy man, and she didn't know who he was, that he was a kinsman. Didn't know how wealthy he was, didn't know how much she loved her, and didn't know what he was going to do to redeem her. And then if he redeems her, then he wants to be married to her. And that's what Christ does. We're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We didn't know we had a kinsman until he made us know he was our kinsman. We didn't know he had the will until he made us willing in the day of his power. We didn't know he had the price until we got to where we realized we didn't have nothing to offer. And then we come to Christ and he said, I paid all you owe. All you owe. You owe God nothing. Heard a fella talking today about everybody's going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And if I ever get a chance, I know where he works and everything, but I'm going to get a chance to ask him a couple of questions because he says this all the time. But here's the thing I would ask him. I say, well, how in the world can somebody whom God said he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified? Now, if he's perfected forever and sanctified, what's he going to do in the judgment seat of Christ? And if you are complete in him who's the head of all principalities and powers, how are we going to stand in the judgment of Christ? I've already given account. And you have too. Who'd you give an account to? To Jesus Christ. He gave an account for us. Boy, wouldn't it be something if you owed more money than you could ever possibly pay off and somebody went in the store and said, listen, went to the bank and said, listen, tell, you know, I want to pay off that person's debt. I want to pay it all off. And not only do I want to pay it all off, but I want to put enough in there for them to live from now till they die. And you never found out who it was. Oh my goodness, you just... Well, I'll tell you what Christ did. He said, I want to... He come before God and said, I want to pay all their debts. And not only do I want to pay their debts, but I want to make them wealthy. Through the riches of my grace and the riches of my glory, and they're going to be wealthy from now on. You know, Ruth never lost a thing. She was poor. She didn't have nothing to start with. But when Boaz took her to wife, everything Boaz had was hers. And that's the way it is. When Christ redeemed us, everything he has is ours. Oh, he had a friend in a world where there was no friends. But I told you, Hebrews 13:20. I told you, we was over there, wasn't we? I don't know how. But I forgot it. But look what he said about the blood covenant. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Listen to this now. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now here's the results of that covenant ratified with the blood of Christ. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Now, oh my, make you perfect in every good work. That's what He said He's going to do. And working in you, that's well-pleasing. Where at? In His sight. Now, how's He going to do it? Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. That's a redeemer, ain't it? That makes you that wealthy, makes you that perfect. And oh, let me tell you something else about Job. Not only did he have certainty in an uncertain world, he knowed that his Redeemer lived. He had friends in a world where there was no friends. He had a kinsman, a Redeemer. And then Job had the promise of eternal life even in the land of death. Look there again in verse 25 of Job 19. Look there again. He had the promise of eternal life even in the land of death. He said, I know that my Redeemer, listen to this now, liveth. What is he talking about? Well, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. Christ was living. His Redeemer was living even then. He said, I know my Redeemer lives right now. Not gonna live, he lives right now. Oh my, our Redeemer was living then. Our Redeemer never changes. You know what it says? He, in the beginning, He was God. He was with God because He was God. Oh my. And our Redeemer lived because, you know why? Because He Himself is life. We preached on it the other day, you know, and the Alpha and the Omega. I'm He which is, which was, and which is to come. He said, beloved, He said, is, was, and which. Past, present, future. He never changes. That's why Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. They say this is the oldest book in the Bible. It's the oldest book, this one right here is. And He, oh my, He was in the beginning with God. His Redeemer lived, and our Redeemer lived because He Himself is life. Oh my, people say, well, make Him the most important thing in your life. You can't do that. He Himself is life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. He called Himself life. And our blessed Redeemer died, rose again, and lives forever. He said, I'm He which was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. That's what He said. And I tell you, beloved, and because He lives, we live. Oh, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, Martha said, Lord, we know that He'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. He said, Martha, He said, resurrection ain't a day. I'm the resurrection. The resurrection's a person. Life's in a person. You know, there'll be a time when there will be a resurrection of bodies. But Christ said, I'm that resurrection. I'm the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. You know, we wouldn't even have life now if Christ hadn't been the resurrection. And then last of all, oh, here's Job and his situation. He had the promise. Oh, this is such a blessing. He had the promise of victory over the grave and an inheritance on the new earth. Look what he says, verse 26 to verse 25. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and watch this now, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He said, at the latter day. He once walked this earth as our representative, as our sin offering. And he'll come again. Our Lord Jesus Christ will. And he'll stand upon a new earth, and we'll stand under a new heaven, and we shall stand with him. And that's what Job said. I know that my Redeemer shall stand in the latter days. Stand on this earth. Not this earth that you and I know. No, that new earth, that new heaven. And then look what he says. And though after skin worms destroy this body, I'm going to die. That's what he said. Skin worms will destroy this body. Though I'm going to die, and this body go back to the dust. But watch what he says. Yet in my flesh, shall I see God. What new world is he talking about? He's talking about that I'm going to raise from the grave and I'll see him in his glory. That's what he's talking about. He said, after the skin worms destroy this body, and he goes back to the earth. Then he says, he turned around and said, but in my flesh, in this body that'll come up out of the grave, I shall see Him for myself. He'll see the glory of the one that redeemed Him. and all the ones that was redeemed by him. And then look what he said. And Job expected to be raised from the grave himself and with a glorified body live forever with his Redeemer. And look what he says in verse 27. He said, "Whom I, which my flesh shall see God." And when he says, "I shall see God," he's talking about the only God anybody ever sees. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. "And whom I shall see for myself." Oh, listen, I'm not going to... I'll see him for myself. I'll see him for myself. And that's the way everybody got to see him, for yourself. "And my eyes shall behold." My eyes are going to behold him. My eyes are going to behold him. "And not another." I'll not see another. I'll see the one. I'll see that one. I won't see another. I'll see him himself. And that's what he meant when he said, "Oh, this mortal shall put on immortality. This corruption shall put on incorruption. Death will be brought up in victory." And I tell you what, that's what Job knew. He knew that he had a Redeemer. He knew that his Redeemer lived. He knew he's going to die. Know that yet he's going to come out of the grave and he's going to see God for himself in his flesh. And that he had come out of the grave and see the Redeemer for himself. He wouldn't see nobody else. He said, "I won't see nobody else. I'll just see him. I won't see him with nobody else's eyes. I'll see him with mine." Oh, what a blessed hope. What a blessed hope. Our Lord Jesus, oh blessed Father, we thank you for your great mercy given us in Christ even before the world ever began. Thank you for the grace that you gave us in Christ from the foundation of the world. Lord, we live in an uncertain world, but there is certainty in thee, certainty in your word, certainty in our redemption, certainty in the blood that was shed to redeem us, to wash us from our sins. And Father, we come to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless these dear saints as they go home. Preserve them, keep them. And Lord, some of them's labored hard today. Give them a... You said the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. So let them have a nice sleep and let it be sweet for them. And Lord, for those that we have been requested prayer for, we pray for them. Oh Lord, we pray for them. Lord, you know their situation, you know their hurt, you know their fear and their anxieties. So Lord, we ask you to do for them, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Well, good night, God.